the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Shek. The draft draws ever closer, but today we're going to talk some NBA. The ball is about to be tipped in playoff-style basketball, and before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit of NFL with the man seated directly across from me here in Studio 66. Real quick, I want to tell you a couple of things. Go to NFL.com. I don't have the URL, and to be honest with you, I don't even know what a URL is exactly, but it has something to do with computers. But if you go to NFL.com, as of Friday, the all-time draft of 2014 will be unveiled. The first three picks, we counted it down, 1 through 32, me, Daniel Jeremiah, and Elliot Harrison, pretended we were in Radio City Music Hall, and we made selections not just from the current pool of college players eligible for the draft. Rather, all the 32 teams could select anyone in the history of mankind. And so we counted it down, and we did it based on the actual 2014 draft order and the 2014 draft needs. So anyway, give that a look. It's really cool stuff. We're proud of it. And like I say, NFL.com. Also, AdamCarolla.com. I guest host on Thursday night. Give a listen to that one. And speaking of that, his sidekick, Bald Brian, joined us on our previous podcast this week, along with the delightful Malcolm Jenkins, the newest member of the Eagles. Give that a listen. He was really fun talking about how to survive a zombie apocalypse, so on and so forth. All right, enough plugging. Now let's kibitz with the man directly across from me. Here he is, future Hall of Famer. It's not jinxing anything. It's a fait accompli. It's LaDainian Tomlinson. What's the poop, fella?
Oh, man, there's a lot going on around time of year.
Yes,
of
indeed.
Of course you know.
I know, and yet it's April. You would think if there's any dead period for the NFL, it would be the month of April. But no, it continues to steal headlines from NBA, NHL, baseball, college sports, everything else, huh?
And you know what? As baseball gets started and the NBA starts to go into this playoff mode, it seems like the draft really takes precedence, you know.
Right, it really is.
It's unbelievable.
Right, and that we're not being shills. That's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, people are more intrigued going over mock drafts. The same guy, Daniel
Fantasy
Jeremiah.
Football, you know.
I love our guys here at the NFL, and they're, you know, love kibitzing with all those guys, Charles Davis, Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and the rest. I love that they each get to do like 5 or 10 different mock drafts. Well, like, well, listen, I don't get to sit here when it's like, hey, who do you think's going to win that game? I think it's going to be the Colts or the Buccaneers.
Exactly. Like, but, you know, wise man said, don't look at any mock drafts until the week before the draft. Because, I mean,
yeah,
you won't know anything until pretty much you can start to get an idea the week before the draft what teams are going to be doing.
LaDainian, by the way, helped us out with something. I don't want to tip our hand, but he helped us out a little bit with that all-time draft in a very funny way. When you were at TCU, did you have the vibe? Because I remember you being selected because you were gangbusters at TCU in your last couple of years, especially. You really made the national scene, became a Heisman candidate, and this is at a time you kind of, you know, it sounds like I'm trying to curry favor with you, but to some degree, you brought TCU to national attention before Andy Dalton and the rise of that program. But I do remember a fair amount of scuttlebutt, like this LT guy can make it against that level of competition, he ain't going to make it in the NFL. Do you remember all that going down? Did you hear all that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, you can't help but to hear it. You know, as a college kid, you're looking at all the mock drafts. You're looking at all the magazines.
Are you really?
Absolutely, because you want to get any kind of idea you can what teams are thinking about you,
mm-hmm.
and where you're projected to go. And so I heard everything, you know. In fact, Deuce McAllister started out as the number one running back. And even Lamont Jordan that year was before, you know, I was projected the third or fourth running back coming off the board.
Is that right?
Yes.
I remember Deuce McAllister at Ole Miss. I don't remember Lamont Jordan in college. Where did he play?
Maryland.
Okay.
Yep. And so it was
funny to think you were behind him. Not to disparage him.
Well,
but
exactly.
Still.
But you know, I think it was because of the fact that I played at TCU and the quality of competition that I played against. I didn't really jump up the draft boards until the Senior Bowl. I was the MVP of the Senior Bowl. And at that time, I think teams started to really see, because they was able to see me up close in practice every single day, running the football, catching it, blocking. At that point, I think they said, you know what? This guy from TCU may be pretty good.
Well, yeah, and I guess it worked out all right for him. Now, you may have heard you left the Chargers after many moons, and then you went to New York and played for the Jets.
Really?
Yes, okay. It's true. I even watched it. I remember you wore a green jersey and everything, like all the other fellas on the team. Then they sort of languished for a little while. Now they've signed a guy named Chris Johnson. Mm. You react to that now. You were in that backfield not that long ago. Is this a good fit in on a Rex Ryan team for a guy like Chris Johnson?
Well, the first thing, I wonder what number he's going to wear, because he's 28 and Curtis Martin wore 28, and we know that number hasn't been worn.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what number will Chris Johnson wear?
I mean, 27? Shame the devil if he considered your number. That can't be.
Well, maybe.
27's an ugly running back number, though.
It really is. And the first, D. Milliner, I believe, has 27, so that's out the picture. Maybe 29.
29's...
No, Bilal Powell has 29, I believe.
We better get him on the line and figure this out, because we don't want him, I mean, shame the devil again if he takes your number.
Hey, but that can be the difference between him having a big year. That chip on his shoulder, what number he wears.
What is the story with this? Did somebody have 21 when you got to the Jets?
Yes.
They did?
Yes.
Who was it?
It was put me on the spot. Man, it was
I can't yeah.
His name is right on the tip of my tongue. I actually I played against
him. Did you have to give him anything?
Of course I did. I bought him round trip tickets, him and his significant other, round trip tickets to wherever they wanted to go.
And so, did they take you to task for it? Did they say, like, we'll go to Hawaii 3 times?
No, they went on a nice little trip.
So you had to pay for him to go.
I took care of it.
That's better than what Eric Decker had got into. He had to give the guy $20,000 plus a meal.
Yeah.
A steak. Well, listen, I just gave you $20,000. Go buy yourself a steak. What do I have to do that for on top of $20,000?
Yeah.
So what do you think about Chris Johnson in that situation? I've heard talk about, does this make them a playoff team? Chris Johnson, the difference between the playoffs and not, I feel like that's a little bit of a reach.
Well, it is a little bit of a reach, but I'll tell you what it does. It adds more dexterity to their offense, you mm-hmm. know, more skill, you know, a guy that they really needed to be able to throw the ball to on screens that can take it 50 yards. And you know, we know Chris Ivory is really the tempo setter in that offense. He's going to be the big bruiser, the banger in the backfield. And then Chris Johnson comes in on the perimeter. You get him in space. Marty Morningweg would do a good job of balancing out what those two backs do well.
And what do you think, 10, 15 touches a game?
Absolutely. I think that's perfect, you know, right around 15, anywhere from 12 to 15 touches mm-hmm. a game. You know, you let Chris Ivory get about, you know, 15 to 20 carries a game, and I think that's the dynamic you work with. You still have Bilal Powell to come in sometimes on third down to help out. Very smart player. Mm-hmm. The question is going to become the development of Geno Smith if they become a playoff team, you know, because I don't believe Michael Vick will end up beating him.
Is that you really don't think Vic is going to walk in there? Because to me, it seems you put Mike Vick in there versus a kid who, you know, he had his ups and downs. Some people, I think, look back on Geno Smith and consider him a bust already, which he certainly wasn't. He had some atrocious performances in his rookie season, but he also had some good moments there. I think Mike Vick, especially in August when he's kept nice and clean, no real risk of him getting banged up, I think he's going to emerge. How are they going to turn their back on him?
Well, the reason why I say that is because of Rex Ryan, you know, this offseason, he actually came out and said that, listen, you know, Geno Smith is still the starter. Hmm. In so many words, if he would have said, listen, it's open for competition, they will compete in training camp, then I would say, okay, Michael Vick will have the upper hand because they're starting at square one. Of course Vick is going to beat him out. But for the fact that Rex said Geno Smith will be the starter going into it, it lets me know that they want to give the kid every opportunity to be the starter there in New York. And I believe they will have a package. Marty will have a package for Michael Vick to come in the game and do certain things. And, boy, they can be a very dangerous team, but the key is Geno Smith, because you say what you want, the kid has an NFL arm. If he can learn decision-making to make better decisions, then I think, boy, the sky's the limit, because I've seen this kid throw it on the rope 40 yards down the field to Santonio Holmes. You know, so he has the strength that you need at the quarterback position, enough mobility to move around in the pocket. Decision making with young guys is always critical.
Do you agree with me about Geno Smith on this count? He can run. He's not a running QB, yeah, but he can move some. I feel like it's been so beaten into his head that he's not a running QB, that he's a stay-in-the-pocket kind of guy, that he's now loath to even ever do it, even when it's the wise move. Sometimes you'll see, I remember watching several games last year where he would have 15 yards of open green in front of him, and he wouldn't tuck the ball and run. Just run with it. It's not always a bad idea to run. Sometimes it's a good choice, right?
No question about it, but you're right. Sometimes that is ingrained in a quarterback's head. Don't look to take off running all the time. You know, let the play develop. I've heard a lot of offensive coaches say, quarterback, let the play develop. Hey, look, you see that crossing route coming? If you just give it time, he's going to be open. You mm-hmm. hear that all the time. So, Geno, as a young player, you're thinking about all these things. Hey, should I run here? Boy, it looks wide open. I can get 15. No, but Marnie said don't run. You think about all that stuff, and then pretty soon he just yanks it and throws a pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic that these young quarterbacks have to deal with. But I believe all the great ones think about it, Dave, and we probably talked about this before in the locker room. They've had the same coach. How long has Peyton Manning had the same coach when he mm-hmm. was with Indy? Thomas had Bill forever. Aaron Rodgers has had Mike forever. Drew Brees has had Sean forever. If you want to develop a top quarterback in this league, the best thing to do is to keep him with the same guy for a extended period of time.
Well, that's interesting. And as we jump into the NBA here, Black Tie, get ready here because the ball's going to tip, so you have to participate as well. Black Tie fancies himself an aficionado of pro basketball. Wow. I think LT, talk about what we talk about in our locker room. Here at NFL Media. I love talking to LT about NBA ball. He knows his stuff. We'll do that. But one more thing about pro football. And a guy, Phil Rivers, who's been around a long time, but just now got a new coach after many moons with Norv Turner, is, you know, now Mike McCoy's in there. They get into the playoffs, and I feel like there has not been a playoff team, at least, who we've heard less about this offseason than the Chargers. And, you know, I don't know if it's because people anticipate that at some point they're going to move to L.A. or something, somehow they don't count or something. But I'll tell you, you and I are on Total Access on Thursday, and we're going to be kibitzing about who's going to get the number one seed. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's the Denver Broncos. And a big reason why is because of the Chargers. They have not just the Chiefs, but the Chargers ain't jive. And the Chargers may jump the Chiefs this year. They're going to be good, right?
Yeah, you can make the argument that the AFC West might be the strongest conference in the AFC. I mean, let's think about it now. You got Denver, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
have San Diego, both the two playoff teams that both won at least one game in the playoffs. You got Kansas City that very well could have beat Indy
mm-hmm.
in the playoff game. And then you got Oakland, who is just not terrible. You know,
they're
okay.
I agree. I think that's how I would describe them, and that's damning with faint praise. But, they have some pieces now.
And so my
some
point
vets,
is
at least.
My point is going through that role in the AFC West can be very difficult. You know, Denver can very well get three, four losses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not – all in the AFC West, but in the AFC combined. You know, they
got a brutal
Indy
schedule. That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
They got a rough schedule.
And so you're right. It's not set in stone that Denver is just going to waltz into the AFC championship game.
Yep, yep. All right. So now let's talk about the playoffs in another pro sport, and that is the NBA. Black Tie behind the glass is going to join us. LT, how say you? Who winds up in the NBA Finals?
Wow. Man.
And you just watched the Clippers. You told me you were going to a game on Tuesday night, yeah. So you went and saw one of their final regular season games.
Yeah, you know, they were impressive early. The only thing that concerns me about the Clippers, they turned the ball over a little bit too much, you know, for my liking. I know they're the number one scoring team in the NBA, but they give up some points as well. And just careless turnovers, you know, trying to get the ball out fast and they turn it over. They do that quite a bit.
That's surprising with Chris Paul running the show.
Yeah, well, the big man, you know, Jordan may get in. He's trying mm-hmm. to push it. And you know, sometimes he throws the ball too far. It happens too much mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. If they can correct that, I think this team can, you know, make a run for it. But in the end, I think in the West, boy, I think San Antonio, man. How does San Antonio keep winning? The guys are old. You know,
it mystifies me.
Unbelievable. I would so much love to pick OKC, but I don't know if they have enough grit toward the end of the game. You know, San Antonio executes so beautifully down the stretch. They really do.
History sort of has rewritten, or people have sort of slept on the fact. I know everybody gives the Spurs credit that they should have won, but it's because the story of the Miami Heat and LeBron James has overwhelmed that finals last spring. But remember, everybody, that if it were not for Ray Allen, for the ball bouncing right, that Ray Allen gets it and strokes that three and forces the overtime, and obviously they end up winning the title in Game 7. You know, the Spurs would have that ring right now.
Yeah.
And yet, this
I'll even go further and say that if you play that scenario out 900 times, 99 times, the Spurs win that game. Like, Ray Allen, not just a shot, the tip ball to Ray Allen, him getting his feet behind the line, not stepping out of bounds, knocking down that shot. That does not happen.
It was the same play like Robert Horry with the Lakers.
Yeah, and
the little tip. He hits the three. It's the same type of play.
Yeah, except that one was right there for the NBA Finals. Like, that doesn't happen 99 times out of 100. The Spurs, essentially, in my mind, in a weird way, are like defending NBA champions. It was just such a fluky play.
Well, and the story goes that they're old, but, you know, Leonard's for real. The thing I like the most about them, to answer your rhetorical question, how are the Spurs still relevant to me, it's Tony Parker, man. I know he's not at the high end defensively anymore of stopping his foe, but he consistently gets in the lane. You know, he knocks down threes. It's always a knock on him that he's not a perimeter guy, but you know, you watch him in the playoffs, he's generally knocking down the perimeter shots.
And
when they
have
as well.
Great depth. That's the one of the most underrated things about them, and I think that's the reason why they had the best record this season, because think about how often
they
Pop
just rest
sent
them,
his
right?
guys. Yeah, absolutely. They still ended up with the best record in the league. So I believe that at the end of the day, they get back to the Western Conference Finals.
Do you care about
just
like
quickly
I would
go
love
back
to see
to,
Houston though, which is my team.
Just quickly go back to the Spurs though. Like LT is saying, is that depth and that system? It's a plug and play system. It doesn't matter who's playing. They rest all their star players more than any other team. And you know, Miami's always talking about rest. The Pacers rested a bunch of their starters last week or so, but the Spurs do that as well, and they're still as legit a team even when playing with Duncan, even when playing with Parker, because that system, the way to move the ball, it's very unique for an NBA team to move the ball as well as they do. They pass, they move without the ball. It's a beauty to watch. I don't think it's just one player.
What's the reason? No, I agree with you. It's not just one player, but I think Tony Parker is the consistent factor. You think Tim Duncan now, but if you haven't watched him in the last few years, if you're just going off of your past knowledge of them, Tim Duncan is not the key to that team any longer. But, I mean, he still is a remarkable talent at his age.
We do have to bring up the fact that OKC did sweep them.
That's the problem. That's why I would say I'm inclined to say the Spurs are going to do it, because they feel like some team from another time. Everybody else is in the is in 2014, and it's like, wait a second, Spurs, I don't think you got the memo. Look at where the Lakers, Knicks, and Celtics are. Yeah, you're supposed to be with them. You're supposed to be over right now.
Right.
But I do think though that's exactly right, that they did not hang with the top teams in the West for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did not. If they, you know, they're obviously going to, you would think they're going to take care of the Mavs, but I don't even think that one's a gimme, because they still, I mean, they got some, again, guys that were great 5 or 6 years ago, but, you know, you look at the collection that Dallas has, that's not a jive team. And, of course, that's the story of the entire West. I mean, look at those matchups. It's insane.
Oh,
the Clippers have to play Golden State in a whole season of toil to win as many games as they've ever won in their franchise, and their reward is Golden State in the first round? Egad!
Yeah. And then my favorite team, the Houston Rockets, have to play Portland.
That's another nasty one.
And that is a tough matchup as well. I mean, Portland matches up very well with Houston and what they like to do. You know, you have someone that can match up with Dwight Howard. You have somebody possibly that can, you know, I don't know if you can slow James Harden down, but certainly they have some guys.
They got Wes Matthews.
Wes Matthews,
Nicholas
Batum.
That's,
exactly.
That's,
so.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough series. But here's my sleeper pick for the first round. The Memphis Grizzlies going up against the Thunder, tough, gritty team. They play playoff-style basketball during the regular season, so they're used to that.
That's
grind.
The story on them for the last couple of years, is that they just hammer you down in the blocks, huh?
They do. They do.
And like you say, Black Tie, I mean, if there's one team not really equipped to handle that. I mean, they're relying to some degree on Steven Adams, the big kid out of Pitt, who played, you know, one season of college ball and is getting big minutes for a team that a lot of people are looking at to maybe win the finals or at least challenge the Heat in the finals. There's not a ton up front there. I mean, Kendrick Perkins is well past his best days. I agree with you about the questions. And the thing for OKC to me is it's been the knock on the Clippers is that they don't play, so-called playoff basketball. If Russell Westbrook is, I mean, he's been around long enough that surely he understands this, but of course, you're not just running up and down the floor the way he is. He's frightening with his speed. You know, he gets the ball at the defensive end, and four dribbles, and 1.2 seconds later, he's at the other team's rim. But that just doesn't happen as much in the NBA. He must, to some degree, become deferential consistently for Kevin Durant.
Absolutely, right? because they're a perimeter team. And perimeter teams always scare me because that means you rely on your points coming from the outside. We know the easiest points come from inside, close to the basket. Hello, remember Shaq? Mm-hmm. You know, and so perimeter teams, you can never, you know, just say the OKC, because they're a perimeter team, I believe you can't just say they're going to be in the finals. Even though they've had a phenomenal season, they got arguably the best player right now in the league. Well, maybe not.
But best season.
Best score. No.
Best score,
no
definitely.
Right now.
Still,
as much as I – listen, Kevin Durant is the MVP. No, yes. He's the MVP.
Clearly.
This year.
Yes.
I give it to him, and I don't mean that with an asterisk that – but, you know, this is a phenomenon that happens that, you know, it's like coach of the year. You see the volatility. Yeah, like Bill Belichick, I don't know how many times he's been named coach of the year, but just off the top of my head, he's one of those guys that is always relevant. His teams are always good. So you sort of sleep on that. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who goes, well, that last year his team was 4-12, and then he got him to 9-7 in the playoffs, a wild card spot. He's the coach of the year. He's like, really? He's better than Bill Belichick? Probably not. That's the fact. That's what's happening with LeBron here. LeBron is not the best player in the game today. He is the best player of all time. That's how he will go down in history. So to say Kevin Durant's better than him.
I don't know about that.
He is the best player right now.
I would say Durant legitimately is the MVP this season. I would even go as far as to say Durant would have won MVP last year with the season he's had this year. Because not only did he put up the numbers, not only is the team second in the West, but also it was like the perfect storm because Westbrook sat out a decent amount of the time where people were like, okay, they're able to give Durant his props and not say, oh, he has Westbrook to bail him out. So it was sort of like the perfect storm for him this season.
Here's my favorite NBA-related question I've asked LT. I asked you this on Super Sunday, in fact, a couple hours before that big game. I said, Kobe Bryant, all we're talking about is on the offensive side of the floor. Who would you rather have, Kevin Durant or Kobe Bryant? Who's the better offensive player?
That's Durant. That's easy for me, but let's see what else he says.
That's easy for you. I don't know why it would be easy for you.
It's completely easy. I'll explain.
I think at this point I still go with Kobe because I think Kobe has an array of moves that he can take you down on the block. And he has what Jordan had. His back against the basket and the fadeaway, or he up and under, go to the basket. There's a different array of moves that Kobe provides on the offensive side.
Kobe didn't have those, though, at Kevin Durant's age, though, to be fair. Kevin Durant may have to develop those when he gets up around 30.
And that's why I said at this point I'm still saying Kobe Bryant because, you know, man, Kobe, he was a killer.
Everybody, it's funny you say that because everybody uses those hyperbolic phrases. He's a killer. He'll punch you in the mouth. He wanted to murder you. All that kind of stuff, which is kind of dark, actually. A lot of the stuff that they talk about.
But it is true. I understand it's been driven into the ground, but you do get that vibe of some players are just going for the heart.
But as a guy who was on some really good teams and a leader of a team. In terms of deeds on the field and then in the locker room as well. And on occasion, even, LT got fiery. We've talked about that before. But what do you make? To me, this thing about, well, Kobe Bryant, well, what a thrill to play with him. That would be if you're an NBA player because he'll teach you. He'll teach you under the wing. He'll teach you with a fire in the belly. That doesn't sound like any fun at all to me. I would not want – Lighten up, Kobe. You know, like, because, hey, and here's my response, my legitimate response to that. Well, then you don't want to be great. Well, listen, it feels to me like the Heat are pretty great and they have fun. Why can't that? Why? What is what do you make of that in 2014? Is it enough? Especially football is more that way than basketball is by its nature, is ferocity. And we got to get them today and, got, you know, 110% team and all that. But isn't there room? Because now you see the Seahawks do it. Yeah. They have a lighter way. They're not that. I mean, I know they're intense and everything, but they're, and Richard Sherman and all that obviously discounts what I'm saying about being fun loving. But you get the vibe.
Well, he's a fun loving guy, though. Don't,
right? And Pete Carroll. And that's to me, it's more, the story of the Seahawks isn't Richard Sherman sometimes says naughty words that you know, the children maybe shouldn't hear. And really, what it's about is Pete Carroll has established a vibe there where it's like, yeah, be yourself. If that's your thing, do your thing. Have fun, laugh, joke around, and let's win games when it's game time.
Yeah, there's a place for that. You know, I think each coach is different. I think both ways you win. I think as a coach, you have to understand the dynamic of your team. If you have a young team that possibly, you know, is into the playing the music in the locker room and kind of being, you know, just relaxed before the game and not all uptight and intense, then that's one thing. But understand that also when guys really need to focus in, you know, and get prepared for the game. I've had both coaches. I've had that coach that said, like my college coach would not let us talk before the game. Like we couldn't talk at all.
To what end? What are you doing?
Like we're just
thinking about the game,
And then I've had coach like North Turner to say, I want you guys to play loose. You know, I don't want you uptight. Mm-hmm. You know, just go out there and let it all hang out. Play loose. So, you know, and both ways.
I was sure you would say the player's coach was going to be Rex Ryan. Isn't he the loosiest of them all?
The same, but Rex had a fire in him that can get you going. You know, like, so he'll get you all loose, and then he'll fire you up. You know what I mean? And so he gave you different emotions with Rex Ryan. And so, yeah, you'll get fired up. And so, for example, like one time I remember, you know, Rex came in and we was getting ready for a big game. And he wanted to, you know, make it loose in the locker room, you know, for the week. So, you know, he would do all kind of crazy things, or he'll put up different pictures on the big screen, you know, throughout the week.
Like what?
So that we can be loose. Well, stuff that goes on in the locker room, Dave. I can't tell you everything. stuff that goes on in the locker room.
Stuff,
you know?
About the other team, or
well, no,
like, or
no,
just fun
just
things
fun
that are
stuff.
Off color.
You know,
all
just
right.
Fun stuff that you may find online, you know, just to talk about. You know, just to get players' minds sometimes off the game, you know. Uh-huh. And so, but there was a time that came where Rex wanted you to be focused, and you can see his demeanor started to change. And so then, you know, the players were kind of gravitate toward the way that Rex was getting ready for the game. So it really, you know, I always say, you know, players are really, you know, they're
reaction to what their coach is.
Yeah. You know, microcosm of their coach or whatever you want to call it. But they really are.
Are they? But so with Kobe Bryant, then to me, Dwight Howard and the Houston Rockets season is a rebuke of that style, that this is my team and all that junk. I feel like I've said this many times for the past, whatever, 18 months or so. I feel like Dwight Howard, not what wasn't intentionally lied to, but I feel like here's what went down. Hey, Dwight, come over here. Leave Orlando. Come to L.A. You'll be the cornerstone of the next great Los Angeles Lakers era. You're going to be the main man. Kobe Bryant's great. He's won titles. He'll be your wingman and make that happen. We got some nice pieces here. Then he gets there, and all of a sudden, it's Kobe Bryant. This is my team. You know, like it treats him like he's my kid brother. Like, don't treat me like your kid brother. I'm the man. They told me, Mitch Kupchak told me I was the man. And now I'm running things through you, Kobe, and 40-year-old Steve Nash. What gives? This is my team. I don't blame. And then his character and his smiling on the sidelines and everything. This becomes an issue to the point that he's. I mean, the, all of Los Angeles booed this guy by halfway through the season last year. I would have left too, and I'm with you. I want the Rockets to win because I think it puts a stink on that overly serious kind of Jazz. I'm done with it.
But and then you got to think about it too, Dave. Like that's the different era of basketball, kind of like with LeBron. You know, LeBron came in and he wanted things loose and mm-hmm. you know, dancing and you know, just joking around, having fun. Dwight is kind of from that same area. Whereas Kobe is from the kind of the older school, I wouldn't say old school, but older mm-hmm. school era, where you know it's all intense and you know you don't be joking around all the time and laughing, you know, if you're getting beat, you be serious and you take it like a man and no laughing. Kobe's from that era, and they clashed. That was the right. reason. Not only that you said, you brought up a good point, but also, I don't think Dwight really could deal with the dynamic with Kobe. He didn't want to hear that all the time. He didn't want to be in a locker room like that.
I completely agree. All right, so let's wrap it up, LT, because you got to go do some football talking on the TV. I mean, the East isn't even worth talking about. It's such junk.
Teams.
But nobody's going to beat the Heat, though, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that. You know, Indy does have, you know, home court. So I think that, you know,
is a little under the radar. People seem to have not noticed, as bad as the Pacers have been, that they did still hold on and get the number one seed.
And Toronto is a sleeper. Toronto can very well beat both of those teams. I'm just going to tell you, you know. And so
I'll take your word because I've not seen a lot of Raptors basketball.
Right. In the end, though, I think it is Miami. Again.
All right. And I think they have the advantage that they have is that they should, at least. Now, maybe the Pacers will give them a test. And the way the Pacers like to play it, especially against the Heat, is to bang them a little bit, mm-hmm. especially once they get a look at the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys era documentary that's going to air. They're going to say, that's what we'll do to the Heat. But listen, let's say they take them in five. They're going to be fresh compared to whoever survives the rugged West. I mean, if it, OKC... The I'm
going
to say here
Indy
now.
And five.
Spurs, good night. I would love to say the Clippers because I think that Blake Griffin facing the basket from 15 now is a threat to knock that down. And then so now you can't back off him. And then if you get up on him, he's going to get in the lane and destroy you with DeAndre Jordan following up if he misses it. They're devastating, except for the fact that Steph Curry might just shoot him out of the thing and it'll all be done in the first round. So I guess I'm going to go, all this added up, I'm going to go with OKC and the Miami Heat to play it, and I think LeBron gets it done. And you know what? This breaks perfectly for LeBron, because if there was a real team in the East to really challenge them, this was the year. This was the year if the Pacers had held it together and were playing like they were, say, round about New Year's Eve, then I would say they're ready to be had.
That, so you're saying
this
that,
is the last, you know.
So you're saying that even though the West is a stronger conference, and the West, San Antonio should have beat them last year, you still think that Miami will get it done?
The inherent advantage that the Lakers of the 80s always had against the Boston Celtics was that the Celtics would get brutalized by the Pistons and the Sixers and the Bucks. The Lakers would get to run up and down the floor a little bit with the Nuggets and the Rockets. There was not a real test for them in the West almost ever throughout the 80s. So they would they'd cruise into the West and be nice and fresh, where the Celtics, like, well, can we rest for like a couple weeks and then we'll get it on again? You know, like that. So I think that's the advantage that they have. And LeBron, I think this is, I mean, by the way, back to the big issue once this is all done. If I'm LeBron James, or for that matter, Kevin Durant, this notion, this fantasy that Lakers fans have, that the big panacea is coming in the form of one of those guys. If I'm either of those guys, why would I ever want to play with Kobe Bryant? I don't need to join your farewell tour, Kobe. I'm going to be the man where I am, or I'll go to Cleveland if I'm, you know, LeBron, or go to New York City. I bet you that's going to be the big play. Phil Jackson going after LeBron. All of a sudden, New York City's in play.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that. All right, so give us the championship.
So I think the championship is Miami and San Antonio again. And I think with the depth that San Antonio has, they win it.
I don't know if I should take you on face or if you're being a Texas wonk here, but you say you're a Rockets fan.
Exactly. You think I wouldn't like to pick the Rockets? Heck yeah.
But my question is, I ask a lot of guys this, and then we're wrapping it here, is if you're a Rockets guy, then the last teams you want to see win are the Mavs and the Spurs, right?
No question
right?
about it.
So good for you. I don't like so many guys come in here and tell me about, like, Eric Reed of the Niners told me that he was on some level happy that the Seahawks won because it made the NFC West look good. What?
No.
They're your arch rival. You don't root for them. And under any, you want them to lose no matter what, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right, so the Spurs pick is clean then. So LT's pick is not inspired because of some Texas loyalty. So you say that, and do the Clips get to the finals or the OKC? You're saying OKC.
OKC gets to play San Antonio.
And the Pacers are going to test the Heat. They're not going to cruise through them. Black Tie, your pick.
I got the Clippers beating the Thunder in round two. I think Doc Rivers pays dividends, and that happens because I think the Thunder relied too much on individual brilliance, and I think Doc Rivers has shown he's a great coach in the past with the Celtics come playoff time. So I think the Clips get over that hump. However, I think they fall to the Spurs. Spurs make it to the finals. They play. I got to see how Indiana plays his first couple of series. If they're the team that they were the first 3 months of the season.
They beat OKC for what it's worth. And that game did have some value to both teams earlier this week. But yeah.
Regular season. But if they're the team that they were the first 3 months of the season with home court against Miami, I think I got to go with, as of right now, I think I got to go with Indiana because Wade hasn't shown me he could stay healthy for six, seven games
That's
consistently.
Legit.
If he is, Miami wins. But I don't think he is. He hasn't been all season. So I go with the Pacers and the Spurs in the finals with the Spurs winning easily.
You get a little bit of that Percy Harvin effect potentially from Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade has been, for the most part at least, not much of a factor. All of a sudden, the playoffs may arrive, and he could, if he's a top 20 or shame the devil, a top 10 NBA level player, which he has been in his career. I mean, it's over. Forget about that. But I mean, just poor Clippers. They're built to make a deep run, but
they're a year away.
But their path, but just say, if for them to get to the barring upsets, their path to the finals before they even get
Steph
to LeBron
Curry,
is
Kevin Durant,
Steph
and
Curry,
Spurs.
Kevin Durant, and then the Spurs. Imagine that. Well, that doesn't sound like that you're going to string together 12 wins and do that. All right, listen, LT. I've said it to you before. I say it to you again now. You are one of the very nicest guys I've ever met in pro sports. I appreciate the time. You're a delight. And yet, in spite of being a nice guy, you also, what I love about your work is that you don't pull punches. You also say, I don't think that team's good, which a lot of guys struggle with in your position. So you're also delightful to speak with and yet a great analyst at bringing a not punching somebody in the mouth, but you'll lightly poke them if they deserve it. So.
Well, thank you, Dave.
All right, LaDainian Tomlinson at LT_21. I noticed you changed your Twitter handle, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it shorter. It gives you more characters to play with.
Exactly.
Good for you. All right, well, LT, good luck to your Houston Rockets. We'll wrap it up here. The draft continues to get closer and closer.
Before we head out, we have a Josh Gordon signature headshot.
I was going to say, Black Tie, we got to get LT to sign something. Ongoing thing of this sort of thing. But you don't just get them. You got to do something.
You got to work for it.
You got to do something worthwhile.
For this Josh Gordon Cleveland Browns Super Bowl headshot signed by Josh Gordon is jump on iTunes. Jump on the old iTunes. Leave us a comment. Rate the show. We'll pick the best top three comments, and we'll see who wins it.
All right. I'll be the judge. And then, so like I say, when the draft is drawing near, make sure you go over to NFL.com and check out the all-time draft of 2014. We draft players for the 2014 team needs in the order that the real teams will be drafting in a couple weeks. But it is based on, or the talent pool is, all of time. If you want to draft Dan Marino or Mike Ditka, you're more than welcome to. All right, so check that out. Check out earlier in the week's podcast. Check out AdamCarolla.com. Like I say, Thursday night, I'm hosting that. It'll be up there on Friday for you. And I guess that's that. Enjoy your NBA playoffs. Enjoy your NHL playoffs. I didn't give my pick the other day. I'm a homer, and frankly, I've not watched a ton of NHL hockey this year, so I'm going to go as a homer. Pittsburgh versus the St. Louis Blues. Actually, scratch the Blues. Let's shoot for the moon. The NHL needs a signature final series, and that's why I'm going to say Pittsburgh Penguins, Chicago Blackhawks, a star-laden finals, finally, to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. Let's hope that one comes true for the sake of the game. All right. More pro football talk coming at you early next week. Make sure you are on the lookout for that. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.